one without the other. And what's pretty special is that actually the story goes back and we celebrate a variety of them, isn't it? Without the birth of God coming in the flesh, we wouldn't have Good Friday. Without Good Friday, we wouldn't have the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't have hope. This preacher talks about the various people that were standing on the cross, around the cross. It's Mary. It's Friday, and Mary, Jesus' mother, is crying her eyes out. That's her son up there on the cross. He's dying the agonizing death of crucifixion as a criminal. But it's only Friday, he said. Sunday's a-coming. The apostles were really down and out. Jesus, their leader, was being killed by evil men. But it was Friday, and Sunday was a-coming. The devil thought he had won. You thought you could outwit me, he said, but I've got you now. But it was only Friday, and Sunday was a-coming. This brother went on for 30, 40 minutes, an hour, and the crowd got into it. It's Friday. Evil has triumphed over good. Jesus is dying there on the cross. The world is turned upside down. This shouldn't happen. But it's Friday, and Sunday's a-coming. Mary Magdalene was out of her mind with grief. Her Lord was being killed. Jesus had turned her life from sin to grace. But now he was dead. But it's only Friday, and Sunday's a-coming. Our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering. They're being beaten, tortured, cast into prison, killed. And you know what? In some ways, it's Friday, but Sunday is a-coming. Today, we're celebrating that Sunday. If things had stopped on Friday, we would be people who would be looking forward to decay. All we would have to look forward to would be death, death, funerals, decay. In Psalm chapter 16, we see the truth back in the Old Testament already, that there is eternity and that there was a looking forward to the eternal life that Jesus Christ would bring. You know, the Old Testament actually has a lot of references to eternal life, even before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but they were anticipating it. The psalmist says, "My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." Do you notice that? The gladness, the rejoicing, the security. Why? Because, he says, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life and fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We're going to spend most of our morning in the book of John. Why? Because that's the book that is so full of eternal life. So full of life. Jesus rose again, just like he said. He said he would. It was talked about in the Old Testament. It was talked about by Jesus. It was talked about by John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus coming on the scene. Jesus claimed to have life, to give life. And if we look at the things that Jesus claimed, either they are true or they are false. He made some very black and white claims. He left no escape clause. He left nothing that would allow him to wiggle out of it and say, "Well, I didn't really mean it exactly like that." John chapter 1, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus, looking ahead and saying, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In him was life. And that life is for us. For us who are human beings. For us who are sinners. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. A little bit later in John, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. And he will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, he created us, gave us life in the Garden of Eden, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. This is something that's pretty hard for us to really grasp because we do not have life in ourselves. We don't. Because if we had life in ourselves, we would choose not to die. We would choose to live. But you and I don't have that power within ourselves. We don't have life within ourselves. But Jesus claims that he does. What is the greatest proof that he would need that claim is actually true? Well, he can't die. He can't die. Jesus claims that he is the giver of life, and therefore he claims to raise the dead. If you have life in yourself, then you can give life to someone else. In John chapter 6, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Do you notice that he never leaves any question, any room for doubt in shall have eternal life? When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, as we talked about on Good Friday, and we find there that we find our sins forgiven, we find ourselves clothed in the righteousness of God, then he gives to us eternal life. And there isn't a question about that. There isn't a maybe about that. Not if the claims of Jesus Christ are true. I will raise him up at the last day. In John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus claims to be the living bread that comes down from heaven. He says, if anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. To live forever. And we're probably not a lot different than as the disciples heard that back then. The people heard it back then. It didn't make sense to them. Because even though Methuselah had made it past 900 years, he still died. And everybody that they knew in their family tree had died. And yet here comes Jesus and he says, I will give to you eternal life. You will live forever. It says in John, a little bit later in that chapter, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. And that story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus who'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Notice many of those things in the scriptures that are anti-world, that do not fit into the thinking pattern of our world. And it's here again. He says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. What does that mean? He will live even though he dies. Jesus takes us into the other world. He takes us into eternity. He doesn't leave us in this sin-filled time and space and literal world, but he takes us out of this into forever, into eternity with him. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Is he really? Well, it kind of begins for the disciples already there that he shows them and he proves to them. Because Jesus very openly claimed that he would die and he would rise again. So even though he said here that even though you die, you will live again, he says the same thing about himself. And there's already a few times, the first time Jesus began to teach his disciples that he would die and rise again, it made no sense to them. And then as it gets closer and Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem, he says it to them again. And he actually says it very plainly that he will die and that he will be raised again. And it doesn't make sense to them. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. What do you think they thought at the cross? Who took the life of Jesus? Well, didn't it begin with the Jews? Didn't it begin with the Roman soldiers? And as they hung him on the cross, who killed him? Jesus says that I gave my life only to take it up on. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. And then he says something very key. He says, I have authority. What happens if you have authority? That means you can sign the check. If I sign your check, it's probably not going to go through because I do not have authority. And Jesus says, I have authority to lay my life down and I have authority to take it up again because this command I received from the Father. I have authority. Now you may have authority to sign your check, but if I am going to sign my own check, I tell you what, I'm going to make sure that the numbers I write on the check doesn't have too many zeros. An extra zero could make a big difference in how you're going to like me. Why? Because I have limitations. Even though I have authority to sign my check, why do most businesses not want to take checks? Because people have signed on the authority they have, but there's no backing to make it good. And Jesus has made an incredible claims. His check is a big check. It's eternal life. It's resurrection. Will that check bounce? If you were standing at the cross, it looked like it bounced. If you were there on Saturday, it looked like it bounced. Did the disciples believe that he would rise from the dead? Any of those women that followed Jesus and heard all his teaching, did they believe that he would rise from the dead? Was there anyone that was standing by the garden gate of where the tomb was saying to everybody, hey, Jesus rose just like he said? The women came with what? With preparations to embalm his body. They were carrying all the ointment, all the stuff to take care of the dead body of Jesus that they had laid in that tomb. They had watched it on Friday and they were going to embalm him, their friend. The disciples, when the women came and said, he is risen, they said, oh yes, that's right. That's just what he told us he would do. No. They didn't believe them. Thomas said, until I touch his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. The two on the road to Emmaus, talking about all that had happened, and even saying it is now the third day. Duh. Doesn't it click? Does it click for you? Are you living in the power of that resurrection power? Are you rejoicing in that what Jesus has done and that victory that was gained when that tomb was empty? Could it be that we are missing some of the power of the resurrection simply because we think it's too far-fetched, the check is too big, it may bounce? Oh, we wouldn't say it that way, but are we living that way? You see, Jesus, it made such a clear claim. He's speaking to them in Luke chapter 9. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law." He names the people that will be rejecting him. It says that he must be killed and that he will be raised to life in the third day. Some of the Gospels, or I guess the next one here in Luke chapter 18. He says, Jesus took the 12 aside and he talks to them again. But notice what he says there when he notes exactly what's going to happen to him while he is in Pilate's custody. He will be handed over. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Did he? He did. He did. He didn't do it in some private manner. He didn't do it just quietly so nobody would notice. In fact, what happened is that the chief priests and the elders, they paid big money to keep the soldiers quiet and to let the soldiers start the story that somebody stole his body. The proof that Jesus is alive began there right away on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. And then just to make sure that it just didn't stay with a few people, Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us that over 500 people saw him at the same time. This wasn't some quiet, something that Jesus wanted to keep quiet. But he said, "This is what I have told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." In chapter 18, he said the same thing. He said, "We're going to Jerusalem, and everything that's written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." You can have a track record here, and you can check what was said, and you can begin to see if his claims are true. And I love verse 45, because this is what we need. We need our minds to be open so we can understand the Scriptures, that we can understand everything that Christ had for us and has done for us, and then to be able to witness that. Jesus rose from the dead. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? Friday's gone. Sunday is here. He's risen. He's not in the grave. He is here. He is here for you. Do you feel alone? Jesus is alive. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do you need someone to intercede for you? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father doing exactly that. Do things seem hopeless? Jesus brings hope for now and for eternity. When Jesus said that he is the resurrection and life, that by believing in him you would have eternal life, you can be guaranteed that that promise will be kept because he rose from the dead. He conquered death. He had victory over Satan. Satan, who thought that he had won, hadn't won because of the empty tomb. If you look where we started in Psalm chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." What are you facing today? What's in your life today? What's in your future? All of that, God knows. And in the power of the resurrection, He secured that so that you can rejoice, that you can be secure in who He is, not in the world, not in the things of this world. You will have pain in this world. We are living in a fallen world. We're dealing with people who live in a fallen world. And they will disappoint us, but God won't. "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Let's pray. O Lord, as we come into your presence, wow, it's so wonderful that we can come in your presence. Lord Jesus, that in itself is incredible verification that you are alive today. That the resurrection actually happened. That veil that was keeping us from God is gone. Thank you. Lord, you know where each one of us is at. In my mind, if I were to try to find that out, I would need to walk up and down each of these pews and speak to each one individually and say, "Where are you at? How are you? What's in your heart?" But you know all those things. You know all those things. And Lord, would you take us from right where we are at now? And may the awfulness and the darkness of our sin, may we acknowledge that, may we recognize that, and may we bring it to the cross so that we can experience the full power of this Sunday, of the resurrection, and of that resurrection power that you want to work in our lives. Lord, salvation is wonderful. To be saved, to be a Christian, is an incredible life that we can have. Will you help us? Will you keep us as your witnesses, constantly sharing that truth with others, no matter who they are, and to share that truth with each other as brothers and sisters? That we're excited about that truth, about that salvation that's there for us. We pray this, Lord Jesus, and in your name, because you're interceding for us. Amen.